Hey, welcome to a special episode of Geekly Reveal. We should call it something like Wanda Reveal or something. I don't know. We always come up with quirky names. We're doing a special. We're going to talk about WandaVision because that ended. So, you know, it's Geekly Reveal. It's weekly. It's more than that. It's geeky. It's geekly. Great. Cool. It's me, Dom, a.k.a. Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my, what's the pun? Marvelous co-host. Would you like to tell people who it is that you are?
Hey, it's Stephanie, a.k.a. Captain Steph, on Twitter, the Snow Crew, and Tumblr, and Hello Steph on Instagram. And, you know, like, we figured we'd, on one hand, you know, like, put in a good old WandaVision episode with all of our, like, opinions and thoughts and theories, you know, for the SEO, like, to be upfront about it. But also, you know, like, put all our thoughts down in a place where Eric doesn't have to listen to us.
Yeah, there's that, too. It's, if we talked about all the stuff we want to talk about for WandaVision, it'd be another two-episode week, so I guess it technically is, but
it kind of still is a two-episode week. We're making the second episode right now.
Yeah, I guess it would just fill up all the other one. We'd be talking, it'd be like a two-hour-long episode with just one topic being the other one.
Yeah, well, Eric just, like, sits and spins around in his chair.
He's like, hey, so that's cool. Yeah, we might do something similar, soon, like another side conversation with Persona 5 Strikers, because that's a really fun game that I'm enjoying a lot, so there might be something with that. But we're not here to talk about changing people's hearts, we're here to talk about changing people's brains in WandaVision. So this is going to be mega spoilers, because we're going to talk about the whole thing. It's a 9-week journey. Still not as, I feel like it's still not as long as if you watched Infinity War and Endgame back to back. It might be roughly around the same length.
I think it's about the same length, and that is more of a, like, stressful slog than watching WandaVision was.
Yeah, it was very stressful because, you know, when they actually killed some people, like, outside of the snap, we're like, wait a minute, are they gonna bring them back? Can they bring them back? You know, people dying in the snap, it's like, okay, this is comic book shit. Like,
yeah, I'll see you in the next movie, bud. Like,
yeah, like, I'm a little, I think the one that crushed so many people was Peter dying because he was so upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no one cared that Star-Lord went away. It's kind of his fault. T'Challa going away is like, this sucks, but he'll be back. Like, so I'm not sad. It's just more of like, I'm sad Okoye is sad. But, like, when Vision died, I felt bad. When Scarlett Johansson died as Black Widow, I was like, that sucks, but, like, I don't really know this character, and it just should have been Hawkeye.
It really just should have been Hawkeye.
But I was like, I don't care. Like, this is... Also, if it would have been Wanda, I wouldn't have cared at that moment, but I do now because of WandaVision, so preliminary
turns
thoughts.
It turns out that the trick with making you care about a character is to write them well.
That's amazing.
And then, and then you will be invested, even if you were not before.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you have any preliminary thoughts on WandaVision? The series is over, yeah.
It was really good, I thought. Like, I think there are definitely... It has some of the same issues that one would bring up in critiquing any piece of modern media, but, like, nothing above and beyond that, like, at least in terms of, like, representation wise like, the same kind of complaints I'd have about, like, a very good show like Hannibal or something would be similar here as well, just kind of, like, tying back to, like, the erasure of whatchamacall of, like, the Romani heritage of the character Wanda Maximoff, and, like, kind of the way they handled Monica is, like, got some problematic background to it, but, like,
yeah, in we'll
general
get into that stuff.
Yeah, but in general, overall, I thought it was a very good show, if only because it made me care about two characters that I could not care less about 9 weeks ago.
Who were those characters?
Wanda and Vision.
Oh, okay. I cared about Vision conceptually, and I cared about Wanda theoretically. Like, I felt like I could, but I didn't at the time, kind of like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would agree with you. Like, other than the complaints you have for modern media that's not trying to be better, you know, like the representation stuff, I think it was pretty good. And it's still a Marvel thing. It's still kind of a roller coaster. But instead of being like the big put you on all the frights roller coaster, it's more like, hey, let's do something a little different. Like, let's do one of the spinny ones that maybe has, like, a story while you're riding it kind of thing. You know, we want to do more than just be a roller coaster, but that's what it is at the end of the day. if you're from Pittsburgh and have been to Kennywood, think of the Exterminator.
It's one I was of those, literally like, just thinking, like, as like an Exterminator instead of, like, a Phantom's Revenge.
Yeah, and I don't know what those would be at, like, a Six Flags, or but instead of, like, a big, tall one where you just go up real high and then drop and do loops, it's one of those ones where you're on a track that you just rock back and forth pretty violently, and maybe there's themes there, so...
Yeah,
that's a good. That's a really good Ginza reference.
If you've got, like, more... If you're, like, familiar with Disney, like, maybe more of, like, a... Like a Space Mountain where there's, it's, which is still like a roller coaster, but it's inside and it's in the dark so that you don't actually know where you're going next. It's more about your head than it is about the like coaster experience versus something like the Everest.
I feel like that's a really good way to put it.
Animal Kingdom, like
Animal Crossing.
I feel like that's crossing.
A really good way to put it is like you don't know where you're at. It's like more about your mind, and I'd say that's what WandaVision is too. Overall, I really liked it. I didn't love the ending. Even watching it, I'm like, this feels like it should be two episodes. Like, the pace just felt, like, really breakneck in a way that didn't seem... It didn't feel that it was... It felt like they were rushing because they didn't have enough content for a second episode.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stuff was just like, it's happening. And then, like, Wanda and Agatha are fighting. But, like, the fight just... It's like... a few blows and then it's over. I'm like, was that supposed to be drawn out more, or did they even have to have that fight? Like, it just seems like things are happening really fast.
Yeah, that's what I felt like of the last episode. I feel like that part, like the Agatha and Wanda fight, felt the most kind of rushed or confusing.
The first one, at least for me.
Yeah.
The second one was pretty good. And it looked kind of sloppy, but like it was sloppy for the characters, not that it was sloppily made. I think it was made pretty intentionally, actually.
Yeah, and I appreciated that right up until she, like Sailor Mooned into her new fancy Scarlet Witch outfit, that she was just wearing, like, sweats and a hoodie for most of the episode. I was like, this is such a small little, like, beat for me to focus in on, but, like, the fact that she's wearing comfortable mom clothes for, like, the last, like, three episodes of this show is worth something.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually. I like the... It's like a nice twist on what we were doing with superhero movies pre-MCU and current ADC stuff. Not so much in Spider-Man, but if you think about some of the original X-Men, how comics were kind of ashamed of their comic book costumes. Mm-hmm. Like, Wolverine was wearing, like, that black suit in X2 or whatever. It's like, Wolverine wears, like, bright yellow with the weird horn thing. And, like, no, we're just gonna have Hugh Jackman spike his hair in something that looks far more ridiculous than if you were in a costume. But it was nice to see, like, a twist on that with Wanda. Like, she's worn long red jackets before that's hinting towards Scarlet Witch. But until this show and this episode, she never really got the crown thing. So it was nice to see her, like, in the sweats that were still her color and vaguely her theme. But were just mostly, like you said, comfortable mom clothes. So it was really cool to see. Just, like, she's always been Scarlet Witch, but in comfortable ways. And then in a more, quote-unquote, comic-accurate way.
Yeah, and I like even that her cool new outfit is, like, it's, like, sleek and powerful looking, but it isn't, like upper ass kind of thing, you know, like,
it's... Like her Halloween costume could have been.
Yeah.
It looks like it was drawn by somebody who thought that somebody would wear this rather than, like, a horny dude. Or somebody writing for horny boys, like, which is, you know... I think an improvement because it looks cooler.
Yeah, it's a step forward.
Like, even if we just take the even if we take like the progressiveness out of it, like, just the leotard look is like, okay, I get it. Like, that's kind of old school anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to achieve what that was going for in modern ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing was trying to take, like, say Superman out of his little briefs. Some people like to see it because it's what we've always had, but would somebody wear that currently? Probably not, you know, for different reasons, but it's, you know, I like seeing the evolution of costumes.
Yeah, and I think, I had an additional thought that, like, came in and left while you were talking. The other thing...
About the crown?
Was about... Oh, it was tied to the like, the transformation bit, is that I think that's the one thing about the Agatha part that I felt like was a little underbaked, was that, like, the reveal that the Scarlet Witch is, like, something from mythology.
Yeah,
like coming into the world through Wanda kind of thing. Like, it felt like there was some more cool thing there that could have been gotten into a little bit more that was kind of rushed past.
Yeah, I felt like when we saw the episode of when it started with Agatha, like, being tried at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this would have been useful to do, or expensive, or even possible, but it feels like we could have spent an episode back there, just of her backstory, you know what I mean? Kind of how we did the one that was just the sword people.
Uh-huh.
And then tying in, and it could have, I feel like we could have spent a day with Agatha to see, like, why she, like, we don't even know why she went, really, to go meet Wanda, other than, like, mm-hmm. was she just looking for power? Did she just sense the Scarlet Witch? Because, like, she seems like she knew it was her, but she didn't. Like, what was really her goal? Like, why was she there?
Mm-hmm. And we like, don't why need, did like, she a... seek it out?
Yeah, and we don't need a ton of lore and backstory. Like, we know she wanted Wanda's powers, but is that why she was there? Was she just drawn to magic? Was she just sailing through the sky one day and saw a big red box? Like,
yeah.
We don't... Not that it's important to the story. I feel like there's a few things that were in this show that were... It's not important to the story. But it's just one of those things that would have been nice to see, you know, especially since we have... Well, I mean, the door's open to see Agatha again. She's just Agnes now. She's just kind of stuck as the nosy neighbor, which is, like, a fun thing that Wanda did. Like, hey, I'm actually going to be evil on purpose because you're a jerk. So, and then the after-credit scenes, like, since we're just kind of putting the bow on episode 9. Do you have any thoughts on the after-credit scenes?
So, let's see.
Because I have some. And
remind me in what order they went. Like, the one was the last one was her, like, at her nature retreat, having, like, thoughts about, yeah, like,
that was the last one,
doing her self-care.
Yeah, the other one was after the first set of credits was Jimmy cleaning everything up, us finding out that Darcy just peaced out, which mm-hmm. fills in her character, and I believe that, but I wish we could have saw more of Kat Dennings.
Because
I never saw the Thor movies, but the little piece I've seen, I'm like, man, Kat Dennings seems cool, but this character is kind of annoying. And also, Thor's kind of annoying, too. So, like, these movies are annoying. But, like, now I care about Darcy. I'm like, yo, she's really cool. I want to see more of her being like, yo, stop trying to not call me doctor. So we had that one. And then Jimmy's like, yeah, I'm just fixing stuff up. And Monica's like, okay, I'm going to go over with this agent who's, oh, my God, it's a Skrull.
Oh, yeah, it's a Skrull. I remember.
And as somebody who didn't see Captain Marvel or Spider-Man Far From Home, pretty much I didn't see anything after Infinity War besides Endgame. So I'm like, okay, cool. I know it's a Skrull, and I know kind of what their deal is, but is this a big... Like, how big of a deal is this?
I think it's, like, a semi-big deal. Like, the... in the comics, S.W.O.R.D. is, like a float... that, like, their headquarters is, like, a floating, like, an orbital station that, like... deals with, like, intercepting space threats kind of thing to sure. Earth. So, like, it makes sense for Monica, who now has, like, semi-cosmic powers, to be invited to join up or, like, head up there kind of thing. I think it probably, like, to your point, would have been kind of incomprehensible to someone who's not, like, up to date on their, like, full Marvel canon.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it feels good for an after credit scene, because it's, it feels like if you don't watch one, if you only watch WandaVision, you can stop at the credits, because there's nothing mm-hmm. that's not related. Like, you don't need a lot of information from other movies to come into it, I don't think.
Or I think, wiki,
you know?
Yeah. And I think that with the, whatchamacallit, like, even, like, on that, to that point, like, even the, like, the second post-credit scene with Wanda, like, getting her magical groove back, I guess, however you want to say it, like, even that, it's a coda that isn't necessary to appreciate the end of the show.
Yeah, that's more of just saying, hey, there's gonna be more, which... Yeah,
which
I assumed there would be.
I figured. We know how this thing works now, guys.
Yeah, I like seeing her do her Raven from Teen Titans meditating and being Doctor Strange thing.
Right.
it was kind of cool to see. I could take them or leave them. I'm just glad they were there because it felt like, hey, we're doing the MCU thing again.
Yeah, continuing to build on this world, don't worry. And I was glad that there was that stinger because I put this in the notes, but, like, I felt already a little, like, mixed at best about having the kids just disappear when they did.
Why is that?
Because in the comics, Scarlet Witch canonically willed the kids into being anyway.
Yeah.
If she had pulled everything, like, pulled the hex down and everything, and then the kids were still there, that would be, it would be, like, cohesive with existing canon.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I feel like they could have gotten away with that, for lack of a better, term. I saw a post from, of all people, Justin McElroy talking about how, like, as a parent, he just couldn't buy that scene. Like, that scene just didn't have the resonance for him that was presumably intended because, like, he couldn't imagine a situation where a parent would, like, know that their kid was going to, like, disappear and be, like, in fear and not, and then leave them in the room.
Right.
And, like, go away from them. And, like, I think that's a fair point that would not have occurred to me as someone who is not, like,
a parent
or, like, kid focused in any way except for work.
Like, I wonder, and I wonder what that's like when the kids aren't real. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just me speculating. I have not had children. And I will never personally carry children. But I wonder what it's like to carry the children for, like, 12 hours of your own life. And then they're just there. And they're babies for, like, another 12. And then they're just toddlers. And then it's like you only knew them for, like, 4 days.
Right? Yeah, like, they're 10 years old, but you only knew them for 4 days.
Yeah, and I wonder how different that would be. Like, oh, I gotta lose these magical children that I was not that attached to because they're not real and I care about them and I want them to be real but I know they're not. I just wonder what that's like, because she had a hard time with Vision because she's letting go of someone she knew and watched die versus mm-hmm. I have to get rid of these illusions that I made. But knowing that they're still out there is kind of like, oh, they're real. And I think that's why she was like, oh, now I gotta go get my kids because I didn't think they were real. So that is an interesting thing to think about. So it's always good to get those extra perspectives from people. That last scene was pretty emotional with Wanda and Vision.
Yeah, just, it was.
He's like, hey, I mean, if we said goodbye many times, we'll say hello again. It's like, that's pretty deep, Vision. And I guess as far as deep stuff, we may as well reference the Ship of Theseus stuff that was happening.
Yeah, so it fucking hilarious to me in some way, like, that the final battle between, like, zombie white Vision and, like, colorful illusion Vision came down to, like, a robot logic puzzle.
Yeah, I thought he was trying to logic bomb him, but that's not exactly what happened. I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, regular Vision wouldn't fall for this, but this is a robot, so he can't, like, solve a logic puzzle, but I guess he can. He's not destroyed by a paradox, which would have been hilarious, mm-hmm. but they had an argument about, not an argument, but a philosophical discussion, which is also funny to see, like, these are the two most powerful beings, physically at least, anyone can find. How they solve their dispute? Well, through talking. Like, we already made this mistake with Black Panther of, like, two invincible dudes fighting each other. Like, how do we do this one? Well, we don't have them fight after a few minutes. But I'd say
yeah.
that was unironically, like, the most intellectual thing that's been in anything in the MCU. I'd have to say, right? Like, that feels fair to have that philosophical debate.
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes sense. It made sense for the characters, because that was gonna, like, if it was a, like, I don't know, like, it was gonna, it seemed like it was gonna be, like, a punch-em-up kind of battle between the two of them, and then suddenly it was like, no, we're gonna talk it out, and that makes sense for who Vision is on both sides, I think, even without the, like, even with the programming of, like, what Hayward did to Bleached Vision.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, if you give a robot a directive and it's, like, dead set on solving that directive and can't be, like, tricked, I guess you could say, then it's like, okay, then I'll just tell you all these facts and then you decide what to do. And he's like, okay, I can't because, well, logic can't solve a philosophical puzzle. But also, yeah, you're not real, so I can't kill you. Like, that wouldn't solve what I needed to do. So, but yeah, Ship of Theseus argument, basically, if you replace a bunch of stuff of a being, is it still the same being? And that's kind of a thought experiment that's used for people, since, as you know, our cells regenerate and create new things. They say, like, every 7 years you're made up of roughly completely new cells or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the idea is, like, if Theseus build a ship and you replace board by board as they start to, like, rot and go away, like, as you're, once you've replaced every single board, is it still the same, is it still the ship that Theseus built?
Right.
And, like, there, not only is it, like, an interesting thing to, like, pull into the show, but also, or, like, to, like, bring up in the Marvel universe, but also, like, got some really, like, cool dialogue going about, like, how, like, what makes is what makes the ship, like, the rot and the wear and tear, like, what makes a person is their personality and not necessarily what, like, the physical elements of them, like.
Yeah, and I think that actually makes a lot of sense, too, because we can get, like, into the spiritual debate some other time, but, like, as a not the most religious person, I can't say for sure if souls exist or not, right? But I do know we have memories from when we were, like, little children. And, yeah, you can explain that scientifically. Like, well, your brain keeps rewriting stuff, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, cool. But we're not made up of the same matter that we were at any given point in time. And so, like, what makes us us? Like, what makes me Dom? And it's, yeah, it's, like, the memories. It's the wear, the tear, the rot, for lack of a better word, no matter how many boards we replace. But then you bring up the point, like, okay, cool, if you replace, like, if every cell that I ever, like, shed and regenerated stayed there in a non-gross way, and you just built a new me, would you be like, well, this is Dom, these were all parts of him, and it'd be like, well, that's not him, because someone said, like, the ownership is the status you put upon it, so if you take the board off of Theseus's ship, it's no longer part of his ship, even if you build a new one out of the rotted boards. It's like, okay, that's kind of missing the point of the argument, but you could say, like, is that a replica of it? Is it not the same thing? Would it not be just, like, Theseus' ship, and in parentheses, rotted, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's very fascinating to think about those things, because, yeah, like you said, Vision's like, I'm the one with all the memories, bud. Like, even though I'm not real, I don't have a body. I'm just ideas, and you don't have your memories, so is either of us the true Vision? Or is it one of us? And the answer is, there's no answer. That's the point. It's a paradox to be argued, you know. And I thought that was an interesting thing to put into a Marvel movie. It actually was as deep as it pretended to be, because people have been having these discussions for centuries now. So that's legit. I'm glad they added that in, because they could have just had a... They didn't have to bring up that reference. They could have just had the same discussion and it not been as name-checking, but I'm glad they did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just, like, a really cool beat in a, like, even, like, I think, like, we can jump from this into, like, the way people wanted WandaVision to be versus the way it was, and why the way it was good and fine, but I think it was just an also an interesting choice in the final episode of a superhero show to have a, like, the epic, like, it's basically, like, it was, like, Scott and Nega Scott.
Like, yeah, from the movie, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, they just kind of, like...
Actually, in all except for the game, yeah.
They just kind of, like, were gonna, like, I don't know, like, they were gonna...
They were gonna battle, but then they're battle, like... Battle,
but then they're like, no, no, we've got more in common than we think, like, let's...
Yeah, this is...
Let's chill.
Yeah, it was kind of like the video game version. They fought each other, and then they went their separate ways. One day I want to talk about how the three different reactions to Negus got, like, are why the movie, the game, and the comic have three separate endings. versus beat the shit out of it, become friends with it, or absorb it. And that's, like, how do you deal with your trauma? Do you just keep pushing it away? Do you accept it as part of you and move on? Or do you just say, oh, that's cool that I have trauma and not do anything about it? Which is what happened in the movie. So I think that's a fun difference, too. Look out for that some other day. But yeah, rating. How would you rate the show before we get into some of the more overarching concepts?
I would say, like, probably... Like, I'd say, like, an 8.5 out of 10. Like, I feel like a solid B+.
Yeah.
Like, to an A-. Like, because, again, there are things that I think were, like, that are just general Hollywood problems with representation and storytelling that aren't unique to this, but still worth bringing up.
Yeah. Now, are you grading that on, like, the Marvel curve or, like, or just in general?
Just in general, like, okay. From the Marvel curve, this is, like, a fucking, this is the parasite of the Marvel universe. Like, on a Marvel curve, this is, like, 100%. Like.
Right, right, okay. Yeah, I'm giving, like, a strong A out of Marvel. I think it's probably my favorite thing from the MCU. I think it did, it achieved more than what all the other stuff did. And granted, it needed its predecessors, but I think it did more and did the things it claimed to do. In general, I'm kind of teetering between, like, a 7.5 and an 8.5. I'm not sure, like, it's in that range for me. Just because the ending just kind of like, okay, I get it. And I feel like I wanted more, but not confirmation of fan theories. I feel like I just wanted more. So I've got to think on it some more. But it's like a solid B for sure. And that kind of made me think, I was talking to my partner about this. And I'm not sure, and I want to talk about Monica Rambeau. I was left wanting more from her character at the end, and I'm wondering, should they have used her less or more? And I feel like either would have been better. More would have been good for representation purposes, obviously, and get to see her story. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like she didn't really do much in this story, like, and got some pretty bad treatment in the story, and like using her less would have let us focus on Wanda. And I say that because it's Wanda and Vision's story, mostly Wanda. So all the side characters did... from like a meta standpoint is make me want to see them more. And the same is true with Darcy and Jimmy, but they felt more, well, they didn't really get like development, you know, like all of Darcy's
we
development
didn't see
was,
like their backstory.
Yeah, all her development was like, oh, she's a PhD now, that's dope, that's great, but that's not like, she's not like she's growing in the show. And the same with Jimmy Woo, like he can do his magic trick now and he's a really cool guy and I like his character a lot, but like he didn't really have much of an arc, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Monica did have some arc. Like, this is the first thing she's been in, like, as an adult, right? Like, we saw her as a kid. Yeah, so we see her backstory. We see what's going on. This is kind of her origin story. But the difference between this and, like, some other origin stories we see, like, for Iron Man or Cap is, like, we didn't see her fight a villain. Like, like she fought Pietro, like, or Ralph.
Yeah.
And then she, like, stopped some bullets from Hayward, which we're going to get into that in a second. But I wish we could have saw more. Like, we don't have a great grasp on what her powers are, nor do we have, like, a, oh my god, she has so many powers. It's just like, well, she seems kind of quick and kind of strong, and she can, like, have bullets go through her. But, like, I don't know what any of this is. Even, like, we don't even have, like, a nonsense explanation. So for someone to say at the end, hey, we need you in space, like, to do what, though? Like...
Yeah.
Which is fine. I just wish we could have seen her, like... Maybe try to do some more, or just not do more, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I think, like, there's also, to me, like, I don't, like, call me a bad comic book nerd, but, like, I don't remember the source of Monica's powers in the comic book universe. Like, she does have, like, aside from at times being Captain Marvel, she's also gone by, like, Photon and a bunch of other stuff, like, because her superpower is being able to phase through, like
energy and stuff, or
yeah, phase. She can turn into like any kind of like light energy, or like, I guess like on the spectrum of like infrared and like radioactivity and like that kind of stuff, like waves.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a cool power to have, you know. And we could have seen that if she would have, and this would have still been somewhat of the same issue that we're getting to with the bulletproof stuff. But if she would have been like, I don't know, if like Agatha and Wanda were fighting and something throwing bolts around, she could have been like trying to help the citizens and like phasing that power out. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, she's doing all this cool stuff, and it would still been a black woman having to protect people from white women's messes, and that would still been bad. But it would have been like, oh, this is something she's actively doing, rather than let me just stop these bullets from hitting these kids that should be able to not get hit by bullets. Like, we've already done the thing where a Quickster gets killed by a bullet. Like, we don't need to do it again. Billy and Tommy, we're seeing, can stop bullets with energy or run from them. So, like, why didn't Monica block them?
Yeah.
So you want to talk a little bit about this? Like, you put it on here, and I think I saw you retweet the article.
Yeah. I mean, like,
because I think neither one of us is really equipped to talk about black women's pain.
Yeah.
So we could try to each hit a side of it, and I could talk more from the black angle, but
yeah, I mean, I think
it would be good to have somebody else, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, to start out with, like, with a point that I was kind of coming around to, of not knowing where her power, remembering where her powers come from in the comics, is that in this, her powers are, like, specifically, I don't know if she gets them from pushing through the wall of the hex, or if she, like, if they're just awoken in her, like, they were something that was inherent but have been activated, like, the way, like, that, like, Ms. Marvel or, like, the Terrigen Mist in the comics, like, activated people's inhuman powers.
Sure.
So it is, like, just, like, as, like, a thing to note is a little skeevy that, like, one of the most powerful black women in the Marvel Universe in the MCU now gets her powers because she came in contact with a white woman's powers.
Yeah, that's kind of rough.
And
I think they put themselves in these weird positions because they're trying to make everything connected and make sense, which is an admirable goal. But then you have situations of like, okay, how do we give this person powers in a way that the audience will buy that's interesting? And they're like, well, don't care about representation, because this was a really cool way to make this make sense. But it's like, oh, it would have been nice if she would have, like, got them the same way that Carol did.
Yeah.
If not, that's just not when she got her powers to begin with, which would be interesting if, like, oh, no, I had these powers. This is just when I had to use them, you know?
Yeah.
That is kind of skeevy. That's a good point. And also, it's another thing of, like, weird storytelling where it raises the question of, like, people did get pushed through the barrier, like, when she expanded it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, presumably, like, I don't know how long she left the barrier open, but presumably she just closed it on a bunch of people, too. So, by this logic, shouldn't a lot of people, like, was this the way of setting up mutants, you know what I mean? Like, if we find out later down the road that this was, like, a mass power event, like, okay, cool, like, that's less bad because it wasn't just the black one, but it's still bad. Like, you gotta show a Storm just having powers. Like, you gotta show us the black women just having some powers, man, because it's not a good look, as you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I think that the reason she specifically gets the powers is because like, she forced her way through, as opposed to Wanda, like, enveloping people, like, by, like, she came through against Wanda's will, basically.
Yeah.
But, like, and also, like, the additional, like, discussion around it, like, ties back to, like, the ingrained and, like, deeply problematic cultural stereotypes of black women as caregivers and, like, who can't show, like, anger or grief or emotion without being called, like, angry or like out of control, basically. Like,
yeah,
like Wanda's there, or like what's it called? Monica's there, like helps her give birth to her babies. Like, is trying to help her. Like, is like beaten up by her several times, and yet keeps coming back to help her, and ultimately puts her body in front of Wanda's kids to stop them from being shot.
Yeah. For no reason other than just...
like, to put Wanda... or, yeah, just to put Monica in that scene, I guess? Because, like, the... whatchamacallit? Like, then you turn... like, she turns around, and Billy, because he has, like, fucking demiurge powers, has stopped the bullet with his hand anyway?
Yeah, so it's, like... it's... yeah, it's doing that... it's showing her being, like, a really caring person, which is, like... some character show, like, we're seeing this from her, so it's cool, but, like, it's not, there's, it's not in a vacuum, and I don't think they're considering the greater world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it's also interesting, I think I was watching Black Nerd Comedy, Andre, he was talking about that scene where, like, Hayward was shooting at the kids,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you can see, like, once it goes into slow-mo that, like, he didn't stop shooting once Monica got there. And, like, he's kind of aiming for the kids, so there's, like, the whole discussion of, like, Hayward's just fine killing people. And I don't know how much we're supposed to believe or realize this, or if this is just me bringing in my real-world experience. Like, Hayward's, like, kind of a sexist, racist guy. Because, like, he's shitty to all three of the side cast.
Yeah.
Like, and none of them are, like, white dudes. So it's, like, he's shitty to Jimmy, he's shitty to Darcy, he's shitty to Monica. And he seems, like, just shitty in general, but they're the only named characters we, like, we see him really talking to. And, like, there's even at one point where Monica and Darcy have a look at each other like, this motherfucker just said some sexist shit to us. Like, it's like, so is the MCU trying to, like, say something? Or is it just there so those two can give you, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, the whole, like, bulletproof black people thing is something we saw, like, in Luke Cage. And people, I've seen some discussion where, you know, this would have been progressive at some point. Like, it is interesting to see, like, you know, black people getting to ignore the, or shrug off the trauma of, like, being shot at by police officers and other miscellaneous villains. So to be like, you can't shoot me, and the other people are, like, afraid of that. Because, like, oh no, what do we do now? There are some situations and times when that could be seen as progressive, especially depending on who it's coming from. But it's just part of that whole spectrum of, you know, can black people do more than just, like, resist bullets? You know, can we be the Quicksters or the other powers and stuff like that? So
yeah,
just adding to a trend.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much, like, it's weirdly reductive in the modern discourse to, boil down black characters to, like, the most aspirational superpower they can have is to be bulletproof. Like, that's just, like, real deep and dark. Like,
yeah. and it's rough, because, like, I'm thinking about the three... I said three, I just completely forgot about Falcon for a second. He's not really a superhero, you know?
Yeah.
He's just, like, a guy with a suit.
Yeah, which is, I mean, like, what Tony Stark is, too.
I wouldn't call him much of a superhero. He's barely a hero.
Yeah.
He's just, if Elon Musk actually decided to do something good but was still a bad dude. No, Tony Stark has more charisma than Elon Musk. Tony Stark's actually smart. But you think about T'Challa as somewhat bulletproof with his suit. So is Luke Cage. So is Monica. And then, like, Falcon can put his wing up. But, like, I don't know why you're shooting at Falcon's torso when his legs are right there. Like, but whatever. And I guess Don Cheadle's just Iron Man. So they're both relatively bulletproof. But also, like, they could be shot.
Yeah. Also, someone brought up a point of, like, why is, like, every, like... except for T'Challa, that even then, kind of, like, why is every black person in the Marvel Universe, like, basically a cop? Like, everyone's in the military. Except for the Black Panther folks, and some of those are in the Wakandan military, but, like...
Yeah, actually, most of the Wakandan characters are military, except for T'Challa.
Yeah, like...
But he's... He's like a king, so it's like it's not great, but
yeah, but like what's his name? Fucking
like M'Baku, Wakabi.
Yeah.
No, Killmonger was military too.
Yeah, Killmonger was in the American military.
He was like the military that we're willing to call bad too. So like that was. Yeah, I you can make the claim that like Wakandan army, since it's like non-colonialized, it's like it's actually the ideal military of like, hey, we're just here to stop bad things from happening. We don't fuck people over. There's no racism here. You could make that claim, but that's still bad. Yeah, I think they all are military.
Because what's his name? It's Rhodey. He's a colonel.
Yeah.
Carol's, or Maria Rambeau, was Carol's, like, friend in the Air Force. Monica's in S.W.O.R.D. Like, yeah. Sam is a vet.
Yeah. So that's kind of rough. And I guess, but they all kind of are copy to a degree.
Yeah.
Except Black Widow. Black Widow's the only one who's like, yeah, I'm a spy. Like, I don't know why you're all cops or, like, cop adjacent. Like, she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D., but, like, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd say Black Widow's the only one who was, like, morally okay out of the Avengers. Tony Stark was a military contractor. But I know what you're saying, though. Like, all the black characters. Well, Luke Cage, if we're going to count him, he's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. But, like, I guess it's been a while since I've watched the show, but like there was a lot of respectability politics tied up in his character, like a lot of what his like I don't know, like his messaging to the rest of Harlem was about, like, well, why don't you just wear a suit, kind of, like,
yeah. And again, I think I like that, actually, because I feel like he's, at least as a black person, there's only one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There would be that one guy. Like, if there was more representation, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But I can imagine a dude like Luke Cage being like, come on, guy. Like, because he's a little bit older, you know. He means well. Like, come on, man. Just, you know, pull up your pants. You know, don't do all this stuff. Like, they shouldn't be shooting at us. But you got to, like, I've got, like, discussions from, I guess, my elders, you could say,
mm-hmm.
of, like, look, you shouldn't have to do this to be respected. But this is the best chance you have. So it's not like you need to be respectful. It's not like you should have to do this, but this is the best chance you have. And I could see, like, a Luke Cage dude, you know, especially being somebody that works at the barbershop, like, hey, man, these cops out here, wow, man, you gotta just do what you can, keep your head down. It's like, I shouldn't have to do that to not get shot. Like, yeah, that's true, but what you gonna do? I have superpowers. I don't know why you're not trying. So I could see that character being real. But if that's the only message you're saying, like, this is the MCU stance on black people, because that's all we had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great look, you know. Whereas T'Challa just kind of chills, you know. He's just like, "Hey, man, I'm here for a good time. I'm here to kill Bucky Barnes. Like, I don't care what you're wearing." Like, so you know, that's interesting stuff. Was there any gender stuff that we should look at in this show?
I mean, I guess, like, I don't know that there's necessarily gender stuff. Like, I think that this is also, at least in a bad way, like, I think that this is probably one of the few Marvel properties that passes the Bechdel test by any measure. Like, that it is notable for having, like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, upwards of 4, like, like, female characters of like varied races being like complicated people.
Yeah, you have Wanda, you have Agatha, you have Darcy, you have Monica.
That might be it, but like,
am I missing any like other major characters?
I mean, I think just like the neighborhood people outside.
I mean, even
of that,
the townspeople, like predominantly featured women, like of speaking roles.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, like, the Asian lady, there was Dottie, there was the lady from that 70s show.
Yeah.
and then all the only guys that I remember, there was Herb, I guess the black dude, I think there was an Indian guy, which is
Norm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Norm. And then the post guy. So, like, there was, like, kind of somewhat levels of variance among the townspeople, and then, like, just tons of extras and stuff.
Yeah. But
this is definitely the most diverse Marvel thing, which is, it only took them, what, 12 years?
Right? Yeah.
To get more than, like, two races of people really showing up in any kind of quantity.
Yeah, but. And I think the thing to talk about in terms of like gender is more of like the intersectional thing of like Wanda being a white woman whose grief is like in some ways exploiting other is like almost not predicated on exploiting other people, but whose grief has made her into a toxic person, and how she's forgiven for that because in at least part because she is a pretty white woman, I feel like.
Yeah. I felt, yeah, it's interesting because the people who were forgiving of her were, like, the main cast, like, the main three. Well, we assume that the Darcy and Jimmy would be, if they even care, but Monica's like, no, I get where you're coming from. And I think it might just be from losing somebody not to the snap during the snap times. I think there might be an additional trauma of, oh, hey, half the people of the world got all their loved ones back, but I didn't. And that really sucks. And I think that's a special kind of trauma. But that that town at the end was like, yo, we're not going to mess with you, Wanda, because we know what you can do. But, like, we don't fuck with you like that. Like, you suck, dog. Like, why did you do this? And the story was not nice to her about it, but was, like, kind of, she seemed to not be culpable for it. Like, I don't know how much control she had over that this happened, but she definitely let it keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yo, why'd you do this? She's like, no, like, I made you all happy. Like, I made your town better, which she didn't make the town better. It looked like it was falling the fuck apart. But she probably could have did that without hypnotizing everybody. I'm going to make an assumption. You could have just came in and gave us a nice movie theater and left us alone. But they're like, no, we feel like your pain, which I'm like, so like, how on purpose was this? And it's not acceptable. And she doesn't seem to think that it was okay. But this show seemed to be like, ah, she made a mistake, which is odd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting how the entire town kind of seems like is afraid of her, and like when it lifts in some way, but like also like doesn't seem to. I mean, I guess if you watched on TV like footage of this woman having to murder her husband in the middle of a fight against the person who like deleted your brother, like you might have more complex feelings about the
because they all, like, when she had nightmares or whatever, they all had her dreams. So I think that's kind of where we're at as people, is like, I get why you did this, and I can't say that I'm better than you and that I wouldn't have done the same thing, but I can say that it wasn't right that you did it, and if I had done it, it would still be wrong. Especially to that degree, it's like, you couldn't have figured out a way to just make Vision. Like, you couldn't have made the same thing you did, but just in a small house shape. You had to hit the whole town. Like, I feel like you didn't need to do that, Wanda. Probably could have just got a whole block, too, if you really wanted to be evil. You probably didn't have to get the whole town. I don't know why he did this.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, like, at least narratively explained into the fact that, like, it wasn't intentional on her part. Like, we actually went back and watched just the parts of Infinity War with Vision and Wanda, like, for a little bit of further context for, like, the deed thing, because, like, in the scene right before Cap shows up, when, like, part of Thanos' squad shows up where Wanda and Vision are, and then there's, like, the scene where Cap comes out of the like, shadows, and they all have a big fight. Oh, yeah, with
his beard.
Yeah, with the beard. I was like, one of the only good parts of this movie, Captain America's beard. And no, I don't mean Sharon Carter.
I was sorry. Something almost died just now. You mean his like niece, kind of?
Right. His niece that he kissed in Civil War.
And then went back in time.
At Peggy's funeral. And then went back in time to stay with her aunt.
So weird.
So fucked up. Man, heterosexuality is a hell of a drug, because they did all of that just to avoid letting Steve and Bucky speak to each other. But anyway, the point that I was coming up to making was that, like, Because I think the point of, like, her, that like, the episode where she, you see her, like, build the hex is that she realizes that the thing Vision gave her was a deed to a house where they could just be a family, like, where they could run away, you know? Like, because in Infinity War, like, what they're, the way it's framed is that they have been, like, stealing moments together for a couple years now, and that...
Okay.
And that Vision is like, let's just run away from our responsibilities. Like, they were on, I think, on different sides of the Civil War, if right. I recall correctly, because I think she was with Cap and he was with Tony because he is Jarvis originally.
Yeah, it's kind of like, kind of biased.
And so I think he basically says to her, like, let's just run away from our responsibilities and, like, live out our lives together as like, two people in love kind of thing. And we think that that's when he must have given her, like, the deed. And I think that the reason... And so, like, when she gets to the lot and realizes that this is... He just wanted to, like, buy them a house where they could be together. Like, I think that the reason the hex goes up is, like, an involuntary grief response, almost. Like,
yeah.
She, like, clearly is just overwhelmed with feeling to a point that, like, goes awry.
Yeah, like, I don't think most people would blame her for making the hex. I think that when we're like, here's why you're a bad guy, is that you kept it up once you realized what was going on. Because... You got a bunch of magical powers. I will say involuntarily mind controlling a bunch of people and building a false reality because you're like, I'm so sad. Ah, I could forgive you for that. A week later, forgiveness has run dry.
Yeah.
you had time to stop doing this.
Yeah, for real.
And I think that's kind of where a lot of people are at was like, yeah, I guess you were mad. Didn't have to do all that other stuff, so... That's really bad that she did, especially after Vision's like, yo, Wanda, why are you doing this? She's like, I'm not.
Yeah, and also, like, I have complicated feelings about the fact that, like, it's established in the show that, that Vision had a living will of wanting to be dead, basically.
Yeah.
Of, like, not wanting to be brought back in any way if he died, and, like, but also, like, in a kind of way, happy, now that I am emotionally invested in these characters, that it seems like he will be back in a comic booky way.
Yeah, and I think him coming back, like, fully coming back is different than what Hayward was doing, because I think his will wanted not Hayward stuff to happen versus him coming back fully as himself, I think is slightly different. Like, oh hey, I brought all your memories back in your body, like, you're not a weapon, I'm not using you. If you want to die, you still can, but, like, you don't have to. That's different, you know?
Yeah, true. If you have full control of your faculties and are, like, and can make, like, an informed decision about whether or not you're mad that you were brought back to life, it's slightly different.
Yeah. I try to think about, like, if this was available in reality, like, hey, your will says if this happens, let you die. But what if we can just bring you fully back with none of that pain? Like... Yeah, dog, do that.
And I think that true that the, I think it's also interesting too that, like, and obviously it's a very comic booky way of continuing to keep Vision in the universe, but is less weird to me than what they're presumably doing with Loki, because, like, Loki had, like, very rich character development over the course of Thor 2 and 3 that is not going to be around anymore because that Loki died in Infinity War, and the Loki who will be in the show is the Loki that escaped right after Avengers 1.
Like, yeah.
And I think...
I guess maybe we can pretend that the same events roughly happened up until Thanos. Like, we could pretend that that happened, I guess.
Well, because part of, like... Loki's the, like, in Thor 2, Loki is in prison in Asgard because he fucked shit up in Avengers 1, and then, like, he is like is helping out the Grandmaster in Thor 3 because he is like hiding from the, like he was running Asgard for a while and like escaped and I don't know, like there's just like I have such a personal investment in Loki as being like a shithead but not a villain.
Yeah.
That I feel like, and it seems like that's where they're going with the TV show, but like I want to be able to buy it from a character development perspective and not just because I'm like a Tom Hiddleston simp. Like
sure.
But with Vision,
I think they could figure out a way to do that, but yeah.
Yeah, but with Vision, like it literally was just like let me download his like let me just download your like the history, like the backup from the last like 3 years into your brain so that you know where we're at.
Yeah, that's actually pretty easy to do. What else do we got? A few other things. Let's just talk about the format. This is a long one, but there's a lot to talk about. We're talking about a whole 9 weeks of fun. That was yeah. great. That's how school used to be divided back in high school for me, 9 weeks. That's when you got graded. That's fun.
Quarters.
I want to talk about the connection to the MCU and like fandom theories versus just enjoying the thing and stuff with Evan Peters. So let's start with Evan Peters. Do you think that was a good troll or a waste of Evan Peters, or do you think there's anything with that?
Oh, because I'm glad personally, you brought it up. But
yeah,
tell me your thoughts.
Like it's like the idea of them being like, ooh, hey, because nothing in the show made us think this. It's all meta stuff, which is kind of a good way to troll. Of saying, hey, look, Evan Peters is here. You guys know where he's from, right? But Wanda's just like, oh, man, it's Pietro. And then we're showing his memories are off. Like, they're not what Wanda's memories are because he doesn't have them. But he has all these powers. And then we find out, oh, you're being controlled by Agatha. But, oh, you're just that Ralph that she kept complaining about as Agnes. Like, oh, my husband's so messy and hard to deal with. And we see, like, all these headshots and stuff of him. He's, like, an actor. But was Ralph his pre-Wanda name or his post-Wanda name? Like, how much of that is fake? Like, where did he get his Quickster powers from? Like, was that something Agnes gave him to do? This is a few interesting things, but do you think using him as just, if this is the case that he's just some guy named Ralph or just some dude from Westview, do you think that's a good troll on the fans or a waste of having Evan Peters?
So I've heard some interesting theories, and I'm loath to dip too far into the, like, to buy into them too much, just because, like, one of the things that's been kind of universal about this show is this, the showrunner saying, like, look, guys, like, this is a contained story that we're that, like, is not gonna necessarily end with, like, a huge, I mean, like, there was a battle in the last episode, but, like, we're going to be wrapping up this story specifically with very little to, like, tie it into the larger, like arc of the MCU.
Yeah.
And so,
which
like,
I like.
Yeah, and I like that. So, like, I'm torn on, this theory, which I am about to propose. But a theory that I have heard is that, like, the whole reason that Monica gets called into Westview in the first place is because Jimmy Woo has a witness in protection who is within the Hex that they're trying to, like, and that's how they knew that this thing was going on. And because Jimmy Woo has, like, historically, like, has experience with, like, powered people, like, was historically Scott's handler, among other things, like, it would make sense that if that it's possible that that witness is a powered person. And so the theory that I've heard is that the witness in Westview in protection, I guess not a witness protection, just like in protective custody or whatever,
sure,
is like Evan Peters as like different universe Pietro, but that Ralph Boner was the name given to him like within the Hex show universe, like in the same way that Monica was Geraldine and that Agatha was Agnes, because like she only refers to him as Ralph when she's Agnes.
Yeah.
So it's possible that there could like it could not be just like wasting a like a whatchamacallit,
cool
I don't know
thing.
Like a cool thing, like, but it also could...
It could be nothing, it could be something.
Yeah, it could be nothing, it could be something. If it is nothing, I will feel a little sad just because, like, I think it was an effective, like, troll kind of thing, but it feels like the rest of the show was so kind of complexly developed that having, like, it just be a troll feels a little, like, cheap.
Yeah. Because we know there's multiverse stuff about to happen. We know that they've acquired the X-Men. Like, if they hadn't acquired the X-Men and still weren't, it would just be a fun troll, I think. I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, that's fine. Like, nice thing. But the fact that, oh, the X-Men are slated to show up and you have, like, a great Quicksilver, like, what do you... And, like, unless they bring the other guy back.
Yeah.
But I think it could be very cool. Especially since I was not convinced until recently that Pietro actually died. I just feel like when they described his powers, it felt like they, like, put some emphasis on his, like, stamina and regeneration and stuff. I'm like, so you mean to tell me in this episode, in this movie, where Clint gets shot and they fix him, we make a whole ass new body for Ultron that's, like, a synthezoid, and this kid has, like, regenerative-ish powers, and we can't go get that machine to rebuild this dude? Are you serious? Like, he just gets shot by, what, 3 bullets, and we can't fix that? Like, come on. Like, Wanda has probability magic, and... we know about the stones and we can't fix this dude. You gotta be shitting me. So I wouldn't have been surprised. Like, oh no, like, Pietro is in this town and we gave him that weird facial reconstruction that, like, or mask that Black Widow had in Cap 2.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to believe that Pietro even died. Like, that's a level of conspiracy theory I'm at. Also, I like fast characters, if no one knew. But, yeah. So there's that. And so, you know, people have said this, like, how do you feel about the length of the show and the idea of it being, like, 9 episodes, like, once a week, like, the format and stuff? Because there's been a lot of complaints that the first 3 episodes were too slow, or that the weekly format doesn't work on a show like this, and those are both things that I disagree with. But do you have any thoughts on those?
No, I would disagree with that, too. I think that one of the, like, I think that, again, like, that's just, like, kind of... like, people misunderstanding how television works anymore kind of thing.
Sure.
Like, I enjoyed, like, the anticipation of, like, oh, it's Friday, it's WandaVision Day, like, I'm excited to, like, I don't know, like, I'm excited to get, like, theorize about it and get to it, like, I don't know, like, I think that the only length complaint I would have would be, like, that the last episode, it felt like there was, like, maybe an extra 15 minutes worth of content that could have, like, if it had been 15 minutes longer, it would have been, like, smoother overall.
I think so.
But, like, I don't think it's a whole nother episode's worth of problem. I think it was, like, just a, like, just a little bit longer would have done it, but, like, lengthwise overall, I thought it was good.
Yeah. Maybe they could have put, like, the initial fight between Wanda and Agatha into the first part, where she, like, throws the car at her.
Mm-hmm.
They could have put that in the last episode, just to, like, make that a little bit longer, then, like, add a little bit more padding to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. I'm not an expert showrunner. This is probably, like, they did this for a reason, but 9 weeks was fun. I felt like we weren't in this for too long, where it's like, okay, I just want to get to the next thing or be done. Like, it felt like, this is good.
Yeah, and I think that it's good to, you know, like, fucking allow a show to end and have it still be, like, people enjoyed watching this, and we want to, like, pass it off to other people.
We can look back on it fondly, unlike Game of Thrones, where it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want to forget.
I like the TV format, though. Like, I like... The fan discussions did get a little bit... people got too much into their heads of, like, this needs to happen or else I'll feel disappointed. But I like the idea of, like, ooh, what's gonna happen? Like, who's this? Like, man, it seems like Agnes is here all the time. Like, does she have something to do with this? Like, what's going on? It's like, oh, yeah, she did have something to do with it, because that's how a mystery show works. Like, that's how TV works. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked having, like, the ritual of, like, let's watch it on Friday after my partner's done with work, and let's think about what happened and get excited. of course I wanted more. Like, if the shows would have, episodes would have been like 45 instead of 30, it wouldn't have fit the format, but I wouldn't have been upset about seeing more. I don't know. I like the beginning too with the sitcom stuff. I didn't think it was slow because I didn't know what the show was. So I was like, oh, if it's just going to be this for 9 episodes, I'm still going to watch it. Like, yeah. If it had only been TV parody with nothing else, I would have been fine with that. Like, if they were like, oh, no, like, this isn't even, like, Wanda controlling people. This is just, she paid some actors, or, like, this is just made up in her head. Like, I'd been fine with that. The fact that it had other stuff was interesting. Like, it was cool. Like, but I had no expectations going in. It was just a fun ride.
And, yeah.
And some people said, I hate sitcoms and laugh tracks. I'm like, well, then I'm sorry, man. Like, you hate the premise of this. Like, it's like saying, you know, Endgame was bad because I don't like action movies. Like, so why'd you watch an action movie?
Yeah, like, right?
I don't know what you thought was going to happen, man. Like, this is what the show is. And, you know, I liked it. Anything else? Any other thoughts on fandom? Stuff like that? Pietro Theory, Jimmy's.
I think we covered the things that I had wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I think I like the format of the show being different than like a movie format, because it gave space for the characters to breathe.
Yeah.
And grow a little bit, because one of the scenes earlier, I'm like, Wanda wouldn't do that. I'm like, wait a minute, wouldn't she? And I thought, do I know anything about this character other than she had a traumatic childhood, joined a bunch of Nazis, didn't seem to know they were Nazis, apparently. After that, she's like, nah, I'm not hanging out with them anymore, like, or this Ultron dude, he wants to blow up the world. I thought we were just going to kill Tony Stark. And then, like, well, I guess I'm going to go live with Tony Stark, so that's weird. And, like, yeah, we're going to go fight those Nazis again. She's like, yeah, cool, I don't like Nazis. Like, okay, cool. And then, like, a purple man killed her boyfriend, and then she came back and tried to kill him, and he, like, took the chicken shit way out and called in an airstrike. And then 2 weeks later, she went to SWORD headquarters, and some dude showed her husband's dead body, and it was lost.
Yeah, and it was lost.
The other thing, I guess, as far as representation coming up, and this started trending again, and I don't know why it just recently trended, although it's been a problem for the last 7 years, is that, like, Wanda is, like, being whitewashed by being, like, a white Christian woman instead of, like, a Jewish Romani woman.
Mm-hmm.
Did something specific change in that they started trending again? Because this has been a problem since Ultron.
Yeah.
But I don't know why people... I'm not going to say why people care all of a sudden, because they've cared the whole time. But I don't know why it trended. Did, like... Do you know if any, like, other controversy popped up?
I think it's just a... Like, just a, like, like, not recency bias, but just, like, whatever the equivalent of that is for it being, like, in the news. Like, we're seeing...
Okay.
Because Wanda is in more media now and more front-facing in the discourse, TMTM, is, like, and therefore, like, she's in the news for, like, no one's talking about, like... I don't know, like, some dumb shit from... Like, no one's talking about the Mandarin from Iron Man 3 anymore, because Iron Man 3 has not been a fundamental part of the discourse in, like, 6 years.
Gotcha. So we'll probably have some discussion about the Ancient One, like, when... In the, like, the multiverse movie with Doctor Strange happens, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that makes sense.
That'll come back.
Because that's bad. One day we should have, like, the discussion of how we handle... This is starting to become unrelated to WandaVision, so I'll just end on this. But it is interesting when something was bad and continues to be bad, but it's like, well, we've already had the discussion. I don't know how much more discussion we can have other than just telling new people. Kind of like, well, whenever this comes out, we're like, yeah, we all mostly agreed that Tilda Swinton shouldn't have been the Ancient One. Don't really know what else to say about that other than, yeah, she still shouldn't be. It's kind of like how every few years games have the should there be easy mode in games discourse. I'm like, we've already had this discussion. Like, people just need to do better going forward. Like, I don't. So it's. I wonder what we do about that, because if Tilda Swinton is recast as the Ancient One, what do we say about that? Like, yeah, it's still bad. It's tough, and I'm not saying we shouldn't say that. We definitely should. We should keep telling people about this.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to do. Like, well, what do we do about that? Like, Marvel, you got to fix this. But I don't want to get in fights on the internet about it. We should already know these things. Any other parting thoughts?
No, I think we've covered it.
Yeah, we gave a good hour. Good hour on WandaVision. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Rated highly. I recommend, if for some reason you sat through this and haven't seen all of it, I definitely recommend you watch it. Maybe you just like to hear our voices and stuff like that, and I appreciate that as well.
Looking for that.
Really recommend it, and, you know, we have a week off, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier starts, which seems like it's going to be Marvel's Fast and the Furious, and I don't care as much about that, but I'm going to watch it. But I won't care about spoilers as much, I think. But watch me be in 3 weeks. Guys, stop with spoilers. They keep pulling me back in. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, tentatively. I have, like, some... I don't even know. Like, I have some concerns about the... Like, whatchamacallit, about the framing of it and the villain and, like, the character development. Like, just based on, like... Like, I don't know how badly they've handled the fact that Bucky is, like, full of trauma.
Yeah.
In previous movies. And the fact that, like, they're describing, like, the bad guy is Flag Smasher, who is described as an anarchist, but is actually, like, a Proud Boy, essentially. Like,
which,
those
great.
Are different things. So, yeah. So, anyway... I have some concerns about that, but, you know, I had no interest at all in WandaVision, and it absolutely slapped, so who can say? Who knows?
And Sharon's in this show, too, right?
Yes.
Is she Flag Smasher?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is she a bad guy? She seemed like a bad guy from one of the trailers, but I maybe just saw it?
I don't think she is a bad guy, but I don't know
that may have
what
just been
they'll
something
do with
I
it.
Dreamed, getting something crossed up, but... Hey, there's always the possibility of Skrulls. Mutants could show up at any time. Lots of Hydra dudes still running around, so lots of possibilities. I think this will be... I hope it'll probably be the itch that Marvel people may have wanted, but I hope it's still, like, a different genre than the movies were, kind of how WandaVision was.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just, like, bang, bang, shoot 'em up, punchy guys, I hope it's more, like, Fast and Furious version of that. Like, I hope it's more buddy cop, so that could be fun.
Yeah, for real.
Let Bucky be gay. He has to miss his boyfriend. There's no way that doesn't be a thing. Selfish of Steve to go back in time and, like, Bucky, you get to stay in the future. I'm going back. Fuck you. Yeah, I guess we could recycle all the old jokes of, like, Cap not knowing things, because Bucky also doesn't know them. This man was out for as long as Steve, then was brainwashed, so possibly doesn't even really remember that. And then, like, where do we put him? Well, the United States is pretty technologically advanced, but let's hide him in Wakanda, which is far more into the future. So this man went from, what, like the 50s, 60s with a bunch of white people to, like, the blackest place they could possibly find, super in the future. He's like, they took my arm away, and now I'm just in a tent. So
yep.
I guess black people won.
They like, gave no. me a better arm.
Like, no, Bucky, this isn't even America. He's like, I'm just happy to be here. But yeah, that's WandaVision. That's Disney. That's MCU. Listeners, thanks so much for listening to this special episode. Do we want to hit them with the social media biz?
Yeah, so if you want to find us on the internet and tell us your thoughts about the old fucking Marvel Cinematic Universe and its adventures, you can do that. You can find us on the internet. You can find us in all the podcast places. You can find us... on Twitter at CharacterRev, on Instagram at CharacterReveal, on Facebook at CharacterReveal. You can find us on the various websites individually. Excuse me. You can find us on Twitter. Dom is Brother Dom. Twitter and anywhere else he wants to be found. I'm Captain Steph on Twitter. The Snow Queer on Tumblr. Hello Steph on Instagram. And you can donate to our Patreon if you want to give us a buck or more to help us continue doing stuff. And I think that's everything.
I think that is. Yeah, we did it. That's another episode. And you'll be hearing this pretty close to when we recorded. So look out in the next few days for another Geekly Reveal. It's going to be more all-purpose.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Hey, well, listeners, thanks so much for joining us on this special episode. But until next time, we will see you later.
Bye.